Today's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them at the inn.
Would you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Holy One, for you are our hope and joy. Amen. So one liability of having heard the Christmas story over and over and over and over again is that we know how it turns out. So there's really no way to recapture the original shock of that news that God is coming in the flesh to show us what real life is like. Another difficulty, at least for us in the 21st century, is how far removed we are from the time in which these events took place, and how that significantly impacts our understanding of the history and the context of the culture and the society in which Mary and Joseph lived. So we're going to spend a little time today looking at the context and the histories that the first hearers of Luke's gospel would have known, to hear what they speak to us of hope and perseverance on our journey. So in the first century, a couple who wed, as Mary and Joseph did, would typically move in with the husband's parents in a room that he would add to their home until he was able to afford to acquire land and build a home for his wife and family. So that means that we would have expected Joseph and Mary to take up residence in Bethlehem after the formal wedding ceremony was complete. Yet Luke's gospel seems to indicate that they remained in Nazareth instead after the wedding. It seems reasonable, I suppose, that they would have done so because Mary would have been about 5 months pregnant at the time that they wed. You see, they waited to marry until after she came back from spending the time with her cousin Elizabeth and the birth of John. Now, the journey to Bethlehem would have taken somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 weeks and would have placed a great strain on Mary in her pregnancy, all reasons to simply stay in Nazareth a little longer. Perhaps more importantly, remaining in Nazareth would have allowed Mary's mother and her family to be nearby and would have given Mary an opportunity to use someone that she knew as midwife. However, today's scripture tells us that Mary and Joseph, along with many others, were required by the Roman authorities to make that journey anyway. Now, there's more than one road, more than one route to take from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And yet many scholars believe that Mary and Joseph would have taken the route that was most direct, even though it passed through Samaria. And we know how the Jewish people felt about Samaritans. So if this is the route they took, it means that it was 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem on this more direct route. 80 miles. The journey would have been planned around water sources and supplies, both for the animals and for the people. You see, most people traveled together by caravan, and most of them traveled on foot. So the trip would have taken at least 10 days through the heart of what today is the Palestinian West Bank territories. 80 miles, 10 days on foot. And depending on how you interpret the story narrative, Mary was at least 6 months, or maybe as much as 9 months, pregnant. Now, the first few days of the trip would have taken them over sloping and gently rolling hills. There was not much that was really difficult in the terrain beyond the number of miles that they had to walk on foot. They would have passed hundreds of thousands of olive trees. Soon, they would have come to the village of Sychar, in the heart of the ancient Sumerian countryside. And after leaving Sychar, their journey would have become more difficult. After maybe 9 days or so, the family would have found themselves in the beautiful yet treacherous Judean wilderness. I wonder how Mary felt just about a day and a half short of their destination when she and Joseph arrived at this wilderness. Their journey was almost over, but the worst of the travel was actually still ahead of them. I can almost hear her say, "Joseph, I can't go any further. I can't do this anymore." As she realized that the gentler road behind was giving way to more and more steep mountains ahead. You know, this was a trip that she and Joseph had not chosen to make. She couldn't hear the angels sing, couldn't see the shepherds that would run to the stables, didn't know that the Magi were on their way with gifts to present to the little king. After a difficult day and a half of steep mountainous terrains, they would finally have reached Joseph's hometown in Bethlehem. Now, in following the route through Samaria, Joseph and Mary would have been retracing 1,600 years of biblical and ancestral history. You see, it was in this area, in the center of the country, that God appeared to Abraham and promised to give this land to Abraham's descendants. It was here that Jacob saw angels ascending and descending to and from heaven. Mary and Joseph's caravan would have made camp near springs and wells each night that had been used since the time of the patriarchs, including Jacob's well near the town of Sychar. They would have passed the place where Joseph, the son of Jacob, whose story we recall from the Old Testament, where Joseph was buried after his bones were brought back from Egypt. They came to Shiloh, where Joshua had set up the tent of meeting and the Ark of the Covenant. They walked where the early prophets Samuel and Elijah and Elisha ministered. They followed the path that the Assyrian army took when it came to destroy the northern kingdom of Israel, and that the armies of Babylon marched as they invaded Judea and Jerusalem itself, carrying away the people. All of this. Yet they also retraced the steps of the Israelites who returned from exile singing to Zion, for the exile was over. And these early hearers of Luke's story of this journey of Mary and that Mary and Joseph took would have remembered all of this. And they would have remembered God walks with God's people through each of these journeys. I suspect, if we could ask her, that Mary would tell us that this was not a journey she wanted to take. I suspect she would tell us that this is not what she imagined this pregnancy would be. And we know, because we know the rest of the story, that this would not be the last of Mary's unwanted journeys. A short time after Jesus' birth, Herod would try to kill the child, and she and Joseph would take the infant Jesus and flee to Egypt as refugees. And more than 30 years later, she would take another journey with her son, this time as she followed him to Calvary and the cross. You know, each of us take unplanned and unwanted journeys in life. I think of those who I know who have been laid off work, can't find a job, those who are battling cancer, perhaps, or chronic illness, a family who is struggling with drug addiction in their child, people whose spouses have left them, parents who have lost children, and more, so much more. Life has its moments of disappointment, its times of overwhelming sorrow and intense pain. You know, the prophet Zechariah spoke to the people of his day who were themselves discouraged about how hard their journey had been. They were ready to give up and to give up hope. But he reminded them that one day God would send a king who would deliver God's people, and he said these words, "As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double." He called them prisoners of hope, captured by hope, bound by it, unable to let it go. Hope, you see, is a decision we make, a choice to believe that God can take the adversity and disappointment, the heartache and the pain of our journeys and use these to support God's purposes of justice and mercy. Hope is the belief that there are larger forces at work than the ones we see each day. Hope reminds us that the story we are in this moment is not the end of the story. So like Mary, we find ourselves forced to take journeys we do not wish to take. Now these aren't ones created by God, but by life circumstances or by the will of others. In the midst of them, we may feel disappointment, abandonment, confusion. Perhaps Mary felt some of the same on her journey to Bethlehem. Yet in the midst of her exhausting journey, amid the deferred dreams, God was working to redeem the world. And we find in Scripture, and if we look closely enough in our own lives, God does not abandon us along the way. Somehow, in ways we never anticipated, God works through all that occurs. We oftentimes can look back years later and see how adversity and disappointment and pain were used later to support God's healing and mercy, no matter why they occurred in the first place. So today, I invite you, regardless of the journey that you are on, I invite you to choose hope, to have faith, and to trust that your difficult paths will never be the end of your story, because God is by your side. Invite God to use your disappointments for God's purposes. I believe it was just such hope that kept Mary going on that long and difficult walk to Bethlehem. May our hearts reflect the same. Amen.